This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Shahid Kutin. With me, Melissa Edris.
Hello.
It's afternoon. We're usually greeting each other in the morning, aren't we, Melissa?
I know.
I still can't get myself out of that.
I have to say, in the past couple of days that we've been covering the pre-election day and on the election, on polling day itself, and then now we're dissecting the results of the elections, I keep saying, good morning, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to the morning run. And it's like muscle memory, Sharad. I have to stop myself from saying that, especially at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, okay. Now, we all had a long night, and when the final seat tallies came in, three states remained in play, meaning it is unclear who can form the government in those three states. And those Perak, Kedah and Sabah, right? And that's because there's no clear majority. Now, in the state of Sabah, Barisan and their rivals Warisan have 29 seats each. This means effectively we have a face-off between caretaker Chief Minister Musa Aman of Barisan National and Warisan Chief and former UMNO Vice President Mohammad Shafi Abdal. The tiebreaker could be the party calling itself Star, and it has two seats. At noon today, Star's Jeffrey Kittingan said at a press conference that his party would align itself with Barisan National.
On behalf of Fatih Star and myself and Robert, we have decided to work together with the 29 elected Adun of the Barisan National to form a government and to form a unity government, a coalition government. And I think this is necessary for the stability of the state, for a smooth transition of government.
That was Jeffrey Kittingan of the Star Party. Potential kingmaker in the contest in Sabah. We know, of course, there's other movements involving the party with the acronym UPCO. So let's leave that aside at this point in time and turn to Professor James Chin from the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James is joining us all the way from Australia, I believe. James, are you in Australia or are you in Sarawak at this point in time?
I'm actually in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, you're in Kuala Lumpur.
Not too far from us then.
Getting closer and closer to us. Thank you so much, James, for joining us. I'm sure you're as sleep deprived as the rest of the country. Now, tell us, James, what do you understand about the contest in Sabah at this point in time? What kind of scenarios are we looking at?
Sure. Good afternoon, listeners. Basically, in Sabah, what we have now is quite an unusual situation. Early this morning, when the results were announced, Barisan National basically had 29 seats. Pakatan Harapan and its associate parties, which is Warisan, basically had 29 seats. Then you have an odd party called Party Star with two seats. They're all together 60 seats in the Sabah State Assembly. So the magic figure is 31. So in this case, Party Star, which is run by Jeffrey Kittingan, is now the kingmaker. Whichever side that he chooses will form the state government. The reason why the state government has not been sworn in yet, and the complication lies in this Barisan National Party called UPKO, U-P-K-O. The confusion lies because the president of UPKO had a meeting with Warisan's chief, Shafi Abdal, and announced that the party was going to leave the Barisan National and join Warisan. But when he made the announcement, he was immediately contradicted by the five Aduns that were elected under UPKO. They came up with a separate statement and said that we are not leaving the Barisan National. we're going to stay with Musa Aman and support Musa Aman in the formation of the state government. So that's where the confusion lies, and that's the reason why the state government has not been sworn in yet.
James, you know, I correct me if I'm wrong, this was an extraordinarily competitive contest in Sabah. Musa Aman apparently there were several recounts before he was confirmed as a winner in his own seat. What do you think accounts for this very clear, equal number of seats kind of configuration that we have now? What accounts for it?
Well, there's really nothing accounting for it other than that this was a highly competitive election. This election was basically fought on the issue of Sabah rights. And basically, Shafiq Abdal was saying that I'm the only one who is the strong Sabah nationalist. If I win Warisan Sabah together with Pakatan Harapan, we will give Sabah full autonomy. Musa Aman also tried to rebadge himself as a Sabah nationalist, but because he was part of the Barisan National, and with the nation-wide mood against the Barisan National, he could not control the tsunami that was hitting the Barisan and the rest of the nation, and it hit Sabah as well.
Mm.
So basically, the bottom line was that he was caught up with what was happening in Peninsula Malaysia, and he could not stop the tide from hitting Barisan National in Sabah. You have to remember that one of the reasons why Sabah is very different from Sarawak is that the ruling party there is actually UMNO Sabah. Although in practice, it behaves very differently for UMNO in Peninsula Malaysia, but because of the name UMNO, it suffers from the same branding as you had over here, which is a very toxic brand.
James, now, can you share with us what you think? I mean, why did Jeffrey Kitengan choose to swing? I mean, what exactly does he want, do you reckon?
Right. Jeffrey is together with a guy called Yong Tat Lee. These two are the strongest Sabah nationalists. Basically, what they've been arguing for the last 20 years is that the Malaysian Federation Agreement, MA63, has not been honoured by both the Sabah state government or the federal government. So basically, what they're looking for is a return to the MA63 agreement and maximum autonomy for Sabah and maximum autonomy for Sarawak.
Mm.
Now, I have to say that the political deal he did with Musa will probably not be entirely based on the MA63. I suspect there's also a personality issue involved, because I suspect Warisan would have given Jeffrey exactly the same deal with Musa. But in this case, he decided to choose Musa, probably because he has better or more links with Musa Aman than, say, Shafiq Abdal.
So, James, what happens now? I mean, if Jeffrey has said that, you know, they're going to be joining Pakatan, then what happens to Warisan, yes. What happens to the remaining members? Sorry, Shiraj.
It's actually Jeffrey is siding with Barisan.
Yes.
Yeah, and why is it, if he's already said that, why haven't they gone to the palace and gotten themselves sworn in as the next government?
And what happens to the members who say they're not with Jeffrey?
Right. Yes, they actually are on the way to the Istana now. In fact, most of them are camping outside the Istana now. This thing will probably be resolved in the next few hours. So the way it works now is that because of the confusion, the governor will probably get all the 29 YBs together plus the two-star YB and question every one of them to make sure they're all supporting Musa Aman. Once that is done, each of them will sign a piece of paper saying that they support the formation of the Sabah Barisan National Government. And after that, you will have to swear in.
James, is this good for Barisan National nationally? I know they're not forming the federal government, and Barisan National is in opposition at the national level. But will this be good, the fact that they've got yet another state under their belt?
It's not a question of whether it's good or bad. This, again, shows very clearly that the political environment in Sabah is very different from the west of Malaysia, and that In Sabah, it is possible to switch without being accused of betraying your community. In fact, the Sabahans invented a word called political kata.
Mm-hmm.
So it is expected that people move left and right. So in this case, all these maneuverings is consistent with what has been happening in Sabah for many, many years. So, in fact, if you speak to the people of Kota Kinabalu now, people will say this is part and parcel of Sabah politics. So we'll just have to wait until the government is formed. And one of the interesting things about the Sabah constitution, which is unique throughout Malaysia, is that once the government is appointed, they get to nominate 6 additional members to the state assembly.
Wow.
So they can actually enlarge their majority.
And finally, James, Jeffrey, correct me if I'm wrong, defeated his brother, Pyrene Kitingan. Is this significant in terms of the dynamics within the Kadazan Dusun community?
Yes. What people have been telling me is that this is really a realignment of Kadazan Dusun politics. For many, many years, in fact, since the 1980s, people saw Parti Bersatu Sabah as the main representative of the non-Muslim Kadazan Dusun community in Sabah. So now with the defeat of Pyrene, who is not only a political leader, but also Hu Gan Xiao, a traditional leader of the KDN community, this marks a watershed moment. And going forward, I expect the KDN politics to be fractured into 2 or 3 parties. It's very unlikely that you have a single party like PBS that dominated KDN politics for almost 30 years.
Thank you so much, James. That was James Chin, Professor of Political Science at the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, joining us all the way from Kuala Lumpur.
All the way from Kuala Lumpur. But great insights there. And, you know, we've been speaking to James previously about the situation in Sarawak, and now Sabah being the state to watch, given all the developments. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a lot of misinformation on my social media streams and my chat groups. You know, a lot of people, especially those who are from East Malaysia, kind of confused. And James brought that up specifically. I mean, all the developments have muddied the waters a little bit.
Well, so it looks like what he's saying is they're on their way to the Istana. This is going to be resolved. Sabah is going to be called for Barisan Nasional because there's a solution. The attempt to lure UPKO from the Barisan Nasional ranks to Warisan's ranks has failed, apparently. And so the game is up, as it were, for Shafi Abdal. If this is goes according to plan, then Shafi Abdal and Warisan are going to be in opposition at the State Assembly, though they're still sending a good number of parliamentarians to the Federal Assembly. And that, of course, is very good for the Pakatan Harapan.
Have you heard of that term, politik kata, before?
Yes,
you have.
Only because, you know, I went as an observer during one state election in Sabah, and they had this wonderful tradition of billboards with caricatures and cartooning. It's done on these big billboards, and it it's very colourful and it's funny and it's mocking of their politicians. Depending which side the billboard was, constructed on behalf.
But often, you know, if you use the term kata in politics, that's often derogatory.
It is derogatory.
Yeah, because you're talking about defectors one side or the other. But according to James, this is normal for Sabah politics.
Well, you know, maybe the issue at the end of the day is, and with Sabahans, because as James points out, it's been the discourse of rights, state rights, the question of how much can they get from the new and incoming federal government. Mm. Pakatan Harapan did specifically address that question. Will they be able to deliver on the promises they made to Sabahans and also Sarawakians in terms of the 1963 Malaysia Agreement, the sharing of oil royalties, and the feeling that and addressing the question of the marginality of that state to the Federation?
So if Sabah is with Barisan Nasional now, do you think that changes the game at all? You asked James that earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, what Jeffrey's asked for in terms of in terms of his political objectives, and I think we wait to see what the reports are like when it comes out. If they're sworn in, what position he has, and what platform they've articulated for the incoming government of the state of Sarawak. We'll be back with more discussion. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.